We're now going to be reading together Emmanuel Wallerstein's chapter, or an excerpt of it, from the book, Does Capitalism Have a Future? Structural Crisis, or Why Capitalists May No Longer Find Capitalism Rewarding. And note, he uses the term world right in some ways, as I use the word in quotes, power. Unless I say interjection, these are exclusively the words of Emmanuel Wallerstein. In my view, for a historical system to be considered a capitalist system, the dominant or deciding characteristic must be the persistent search for the endless accumulation of capital. The accumulation of capital in order to accumulate more capital. And for this characteristic to prevail, there must be mechanisms that penalize any actors who seek to operate on the basis of other values or other objectives, such that these non-conforming actors are sooner or later eliminated from the scene, or at least severely hampered in their ability to accumulate significant amounts of capital. All the many institutions of the modern world system operate to promote, or at least are constrained by, the pressure to promote the endless accumulation of capital. The priority of accumulating capital in order to accumulate still more capital seems to me a thoroughly irrational objective. To say that it is irrational, in my appreciation of material or substantive rationality, Weber's Material Rationalität, is not to say that it cannot work in the sense of being able to sustain an historical system, at least for a considerable amount of time, Weber's formal rationality. The modern world system has lasted some 500 years, and in terms of its guiding principle of the endless accumulation of capital, it has been extremely successful. However, as we shall argue, the period of its ability to continue to operate on this basis has now come to an end. A major geocultural change. The profit squeeze for capitalist producers, and he has just shown that the long-term structural trend is toward increasing costs of the three generic costs in any production process: personnel, inputs, taxation. So the profit squeeze for capitalist producers has been compounded by a colossal cultural change. This is the end of the dominance of centrist liberalism in the geoculture, which is the meaning and the consequence of the World Revolution of 1968. The World Revolution of 1968, actually it occurred over a period going from 1966 to 1970, did not lead to a political transformation of the world system. Indeed, in most countries, the movement was successfully repressed, and many of its participants abandoned their youthful enthusiasm as the years went by. But it did leave a lasting legacy. The ability of centrist liberals to insist that their version of the geoculture was the only legitimate one was destroyed in the process. Exponents of truly conservative and truly radical ideologies resumed their autonomous existence and began to pursue autonomous organizational and political strategies. The consequence of this cultural political change for the operation of the modern world system was enormous. Having entered into a critical situation in terms of the ability of capitalists to pursue the endless accumulation of capital, the political stability of the modern world system was no longer guaranteed by the overwhelming strength of centrist liberalism, with its assurances of an ever better future for everyone, provided only one patiently submitted to the wise actions of the persons with a specialized capacity to bring about this ever better future, eventually. The chaos that ensued. The World Revolution of 1968 was an enormous political success. The World Revolution of 1968 was an enormous political failure. It seemed to spread and flourish across the globe, yet by the mid-70s seemed to be extinguished almost everywhere. What had been accomplished by this world brush fire? Actually, quite a bit. Centrist liberalism had been dethroned as the governing ideology of the world system, the de facto only legitimate ideology. It was now reduced to being simply one alternative among others. In addition, the old left movements were destroyed as mobilizers of any kind of fundamental change. Still, the immediate triumphalism of the revolutionaries of 1968, liberated from any subordination to centrist liberalism, proved shallow and unsustainable. The world right was equally liberated from any attachment to centrist liberalism. It took advantage of the world economic stagnation and the collapse of the old left movements and their governments to launch a counteroffensive, which we call neoliberal, actually quite conservative, globalization. The prime objectives were to reverse all the gains of the lower strata. That's you and me. Sorry. During the Kondratiev A period, and Wallerstein describes Kondratiev as a mechanism that explains how capital accumulates, i.e. cyclically, in expansions and contractions. The world right sought to reduce all the major costs of production, to destroy the welfare state in all of its versions, and to slow down the decline of U.S. power in the world system. And my interjection, why should the world right want to slow down the decline of U.S. power in the world system? And this question relates to the discussion in Founding and Realizing a Test Site. Relates to Power's use of de Tocqueville for their notion of the historical role, unquote, of the U.S. to establish, impose a global order. Continuing with Emmanuel Wallerstein. The onward march of the world right seemed to culminate in 1989. The ending of Soviet control over its East Central European satellite states and the dismantling of the Soviet Union itself in 1991 led to a sudden new triumphalism of the world right. The offensive of the world right was a great success. The offensive of the world right was a great failure. With the onset of the world economic stagnation in the 1970s, which is the B phase of the Kondratiev cycle, large capitalist producers did shift significant amount of productive activity to new zones, which did seem to develop, quote unquote, significantly. But however beneficial this was to the local middle strata in these countries, whose numbers now expanded considerably, the amount of capital accumulation seen at a global level was not all that impressive and did not begin to match what these corporate producers had been able to accumulate during the 1945 to 1970 period. To maintain a level of massive appropriation of world surplus value, capitalists had to turn to obtaining it in the financial sector, what has come to be called the financialization of the world system. As suggested previously, such financialization has been a cyclically recurring feature of the modern world system for 500 years.